I want to talk to you today a little bit about friendship with God, friendship with His people, and friendship with His purpose here this morning. So enjoying God, enjoying His people, and enjoying His purpose. But before we get into that, is that there is something that's been on my mind and heart out of Romans that has just been resonating for a couple of months. And that was when Paul was basically trying to trump, due to love, the whole clean, unclean food debate. Y'all remember that? And he began to talk to the Romans how, look, guys, it's not what goes into a man. The kingdom of God, it's not about eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And he was trying to get them away from missteps. There's always legalism that can creep in one direction, or licentiousness that can come from another, but you can put that up. And so here Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but can we say this together, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I have been really contemplating just that third component of joy, and none of these three are to stand alone, but they're to work in unity, they're to work in tandem together. But I've been considering going into this holiday season, and you've heard me say it, and forgive the redundancy, but I believe that as Christians, we need to be the most festive, excited, celebratory people on the face of the earth. How many of y'all know there's plenty to be down about in life? And so I think as believers, it's our moment to rise and shine. And again, not being tripped up by secular trappings, but yet saying, you know, we're to be full of life, full of vigor, completely enter into the true meaning of what these holy days, holidays are all about, and really represent redemption to a hurting world. To say, I didn't have all the answers, but God sure has been good and faithful. Therefore, I'm going to give up my right to be miserable. And I'm going to give up my right to be downcast. And I'm just going to, this year, give up my right to be negative. And I'm going to be a happy Christian. And I'm going to be a fulfilled Christian. How many of y'all know many times it's merely a choice? Sometimes we just need to give up our right to be miserable. We so build our case, this happened, and I can't believe, and all these things that are stacked against me. Well, as we were showing these different situations in third world countries and the need that's in the bigger world, we are a very wealthy people, and we have it very, very good. Don't y'all believe that to be the case? And so we can make a decision. I am going to embrace righteousness. I am going to embrace a spirit of peace, and I'm not going to leave joy on the shelf. I am going to embrace a spirit of joy, and I'm going to be the biggest believer that I can be. And I believe that culture is looking for that, and they need for people to be large in heart, large in spirit, large in scope. And so again, Paul was saying, don't reduce the kingdom of God to whether you eat the hamburger or not, or whether this is defiled. And there's a place for that discussion. But it's grander than that. It's righteousness. It's peace. And certainly it's joy in the Holy Spirit. All three components are imperative. It's not righteousness standing alone or peace standing alone, etc. And again, we're very much wanting to highlight this third component, especially as we're entering this season. Don't want to leave it out. Righteousness, we know we can't do faith without righteousness. We don't have a cavalier faith. It's not an arbitrary faith. We can't create a God out of our own imagination. We can't write our own version of Scripture. God is absolute in His truth. And aren't you glad that that plumb line doesn't sway back and forth? But there is something about the absoluteness of truth that makes truth, truth. And aren't you glad that we don't have to be subjective to relativism that just usurps this generation and this age? 2 + 2 = 4 isn't a mean-spirited statement. It's just a truthful statement. And people say, how can you say that it's 4? Where do you come off? I mean, that's just not very tolerant. You know, how do you think it makes the people feel that believe 2 + 2 = 6? You know, they're earnest, they're sincere, And we don't want to mock that, but we know you can be sincere yet sincerely wrong. In our life and in our culture, the way we understand it, 2 + 2 will always be 4. And so God in His Word, He doesn't stutter. We have to understand when it comes to morality, when it comes to heart issues, when it comes to ethics. We just don't have the privilege to pick and choose as if it were a buffet what we're going to embrace and what we're not. God, I want your forgiveness. I'll take some blessing, holiness. No, I don't want that. Let's see. I'll take some destiny. Ooh, like that word on destiny. I'll take that, you know, and we're connoisseurs, as it were. But in order for the kingdom to be the kingdom, how many of you know righteousness has a very critical role to play? It's not a rigid righteousness. It's a life-giving righteousness. Can you say life-giving? I mean, you know that true righteousness, it sets us free to be who God has called us to be. It's not a legalism. It's a happy holiness. And again, we're to be, I think, the most festive, joyful people. It's something that we grow in. It's something that we learn. But again, righteousness is, in fact, a foundation. It's based on truth. Righteousness is based on purity. It's based on rightness, justice, morality. The church itself is the pillar and the support of the what? Of the truth, right? Righteousness and justice are even declared to be the throne of God. So it's a very important, a very non-negotiable component of what we do. Righteousness is the state that makes a person acceptable before God, imputed by Christ. Commentator Matthew Henry, who I love to read his writings, he said, quote, "The righteousness of God's government proceeds from the righteousness of His person, from an essential eternal love of righteousness and hatred of iniquity, not merely from consideration of prudence or interest, but from an inward and immovable principle that thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. He was righteous in all His ways and holy in all of His works. He has recommended righteousness to men and restored it among them as a most excellent and amiable thing. He came to finish transgression and to make an end of sin as a hateful as well as hurtful thing." That's meaty to me. Righteousness, the nature of God, that righteousness that God imputes to us by faith through Jesus and His blood and His cross, it's a non-negotiable. Thank God for His Word so that we just don't spin out into orbit. So are you grateful for the righteousness of God this morning and what it means objectively and what it means subjectively as our lives are changed? And so it's a fundamental foundation to the kingdom. And we could go on and on about this topic. It's not a small thing. But again, that's not going to be our particular point today. We could talk a lot about peace today. How many of y'all know sometimes a good night's sleep is a rare thing in this culture? I mean, just being able to turn your mind off and just say, "Lord, help a man." And the psalmist says that He gives His beloved sleep. Peace is not absence of war, because we have to deal with stuff in life, don't we? So I'm not talking about a Pollyanna euphoria where we just kind of float around and we're just in denial and everything's great and we're pretending, but it's really not. You know, it's like, you know, you see people that, you know, when they're on drugs and there's an unreality and they're thinking all is well. I don't have any bills, you know, or I don't have any real, I don't have to go to work, you know, and we're not talking about la la land. We're talking about even in the midst of conflict, there is a sustaining power that undergirds the believer and somehow will stabilize them. And it's a sign and a wonder, because everything in your natural bent would feel to freak out and to come apart like a $2 watch. But yet you have repose and you have constancy, and there's a footing and a surety about who you are and what you do, because you are convinced of the nature of God. So peace is not absence of war, but it is a lack of strife and anxiety as we look to the Lord. And again, this is part of the threefold foundation that makes up the kingdom of God: righteousness and peace. We could go on and on about the peace of God. God's kingdom is to be lived strife-free. And that's a supernatural ability that when strife knocks on the door and says, can I come in? You say, nah, I just don't think I'm going to let you in today. When anxiety knocks on the door, can I come in? I don't feel like fretting today. It takes too much energy. When fear knocks on the door, take me, take me. What if? What if? But what if? How many of y'all know the devil will always kind of, you know, play these versions of what if could happen, and it's never pretty. And you just got to say, I just don't have the time. I'm just going to choose to rest in peace. Someone looking at that would think, thou idiot. No, it's not that we're mindless. It's like we can't do anything about that anyway. The Lord has it. The Lord has it. Can you say the Lord has it? Even as little children, didn't we sing, he's got the whole world in his... And we believe that. We just don't believe he's got our world. You are stronger. You are stronger. Can he fix your situation? No, he can't. You know, and it's just, you know, we sing, you know, but the way we act is, I thought you just 20 minutes ago sang that he was stronger. Well, yeah, he is. Just not concerning me. And this is where we have to get our theology real practical. It's where we live. It's how we do life. It's like, if these truths are truly true, how can they find expression where we live on a daily basis so that there's transformation in how I live my life? And that's what God died to do, is to help bring peace to perplexity, to vexation of mind, to where I have the right to freak, but just don't think I will today. Thank you just the same. I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest that God is able. I'm going to rest that that big bicep of God is so big, he'll deal with the bully. I'm just going to rest. Going to be at peace. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our shalom. You know, one version of peace is defined by nothing missing, nothing broken. I love that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Lord, we just declare over our lives today, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. For you alone are our peace. Amen. And he gives a peace that the world can't give. And there are many things that try to drown and anesthetize the pain. And sometimes they do a greater ill than having not tried to remedy it. And that's why we're going to the one that's going to help and aid, but there's no after effect or sour aftertaste or hangover effect, as it were. But he's going to help us. He's going to sustain us. And this is what makes up the kingdom of God. Righteousness. Peace. And in our anxious moments, I think there are times we just need just to declare out of our mouths, peace. We need to speak to the storm. You say, I feel silly. Well, I'd rather speak it and feel silly and watch God bring calm than hold on to my pride and still be turbulent. But it's just good at times just to declare peace to that child. Peace to that situation with that neighbor. Peace in the workplace with that conflict. Oh, this teacher I have in college and this project that has to be turned in by this time, I speak peace. It's not jumping ship and being irresponsible. You're just appealing to a higher power to be sustained in the midst of the perceived conflict. That's what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness. Peace. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Ever heard that one? That was on a Christmas card one time, wasn't it, somewhere? It's all part of the kingdom. So we can say yes and yes and yes to all this, but I just want to highlight today a little bit about joy that I think is so critical to the equation. God stuck it in this sequence for a reason. Righteousness, peace, but joy. We're not going to do the right standing and the righteousness without the joy, okay? We're not going to be in a nirvana, mindless, trying to absolve ourselves from the pain of life but not have a smile on our face. One thing I love about the underground house church movement in China, we work with some of the top leaders in China representing 15 million believers. And when we first, Pastor Ron and I first met with them in 1999, we interviewed these Chinese leaders and we asked them, how many of y'all have been put in prison or have been in prison? And they're like, oh. And we said, how many have been tortured for your faith? Oh. And they're sitting there smiling, you know, the joy of the Lord. And we're just shaking our head like this is vintage Christianity right here. I mean, it wasn't like, how many of y'all have been in prison? You know, and showing us their scars. And they were so glad to be counted among the brethren. And we were so provoked in that year just watching the quality of faith they had. It was mind-boggling. Where do you get that smile? Jesus has touched them in a powerful way, in an eternal way, and it was provoking. Some of y'all know in America sometimes we have a little entitlement. Sometimes there's a little complaining, and sometimes we got a little attitude. And so because we live in such a big world, we need perspective by seeing how other Christians live out their faith in other settings. And it was so amazing to watch their quality of faith in view of all that they had gone through. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy. We are to enjoy our life in God. Let's say that together. We are to enjoy our life in God. Our life in God is not something to be endured. It is something to be ridden with gusto. I'm going to be the biggest Christian I can be. You're not going to get my joy. You can try to offend me. You're not going to get my joy. I will not get better. I'm going to get better. Oh, this situation happens. All right, I'm appealing to a hug. Not going to get my joy. Not. And how many of you know it's a fight of faith at times. We labor to enter his rest. Sometimes you have to labor to develop the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. But we're to enjoy life in God. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Is good. He's good. If he's really good, I'm going to muster up the ability to get excited about it. If he's not really good, I'm going to bail out anyway and not even play the game. Make sense? If he's really good, I'm going to get excited about it. If I'm uncertain and I have a little bit of question, then I'm just not going to play altogether. I've just too much to do. But if he's good, I'm going to be excited about it. And again, my appeal as we enter this holiday season, I want us to enjoy God. I want us to enjoy one another. And I want us to enjoy God's purpose of reaching our world. Did y'all have fun yesterday? Wasn't that fun going to see the Raleigh Christmas Parade? How many of y'all know that was very spiritual, hanging out and watching a Christmas parade go by? How many of y'all know going and watching a tree being lit? Oh, well, that was carnal. No, that was fun. They are kingdom-building moments where we do life together. And God wants us to have fun in a good way, in a legal way. Christian faith is not the antithesis of fun or pleasure. Matter of fact, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of what? Joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures. Can you say pleasures? Pleasures forevermore. But the deal is, they're not illegal pleasures. They are righteous pleasures that we were intended to partake of that will fulfill us. We don't have to prove we're devout by being kind of, you know, woe in the mouth. No, again, we want to kind of come up like those hot air floats yesterday and again, be large. And if we need to repent for having too much joy, so be it. But we want to be large in our experience. Hello. Life is too short. Want to be large. But there are pleasures at his right hand. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Can you say fullness? There's plenty of it. In other words, so walking with God, walking with one another, taking up his purpose is what we call Christianity. Doing life with God, doing life with one another, and caring about what God cares about. And that's, in fact, what gave Jesus his joy. Yes, Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, but that was just one dimension. He was also anointed with the oil of gladness beyond his companions, according to Hebrews. We're not one-dimensional. We can be buffeted on one hand, but yet come up with great favor and joy on the other. And Hebrews says, because Jesus because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, therefore his father anointed him with the oil of gladness far beyond his companions. So he was not just someone dragging in the dirt. Did he have things stacked against him? Absolutely. But he was also, in the same breath, exuberant and life-giving, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it manifests in this, what we call joy, what we call gladness of heart. The great Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest minds America ever produced, he said, quote, "The heart of true religion is holy affection." I like that. Our faith is not merely objective consent that this is true, and this is true. But our faith is also experiential in that it's to find expression in how we live and how we feel. Okay? So again, he said, the heart of true religion is holy affection. He went on to say, true religion consists so much in the affections that there can be no true religion without them. In other words, let your faith touch you in the deepest part of who you are. Don't let it merely be a cerebral, intellectual faith that you agree with the Trinity, you agree with the deity of Christ, you agree with the nature of man, the nature of God, and you're checking off your statement of faith. But let it touch you deeply, changing your whole internal chemistry. God can do that. Do y'all know that God can heal the human soul? The 23rd Psalm, he restores what? My soul. And he can change out our mourning for gladness. He gives us the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's available. So our quest as believers is, if it's there, then Lord, sign me up for some. I'll take some of that. How many of y'all would like a little bit of that? All that you can have in God. Fullness. Fullness. There needs to be a little bit of wow factor in our faith. You know what I mean? In other words, we're not bored in our faith. We need to live intrigued. We need to live wowed. We need to live with a sense of wonder and awe. And if we're not awed, we need to go back and look at God afresh and say, God, I'm a little bit drying up on yesterday's revelation, so I'm going to need a new revelation of you today. Would you wow me? Would you cause me to scratch my head and wonder at the mysteries of who you are and how you brought me out of where I was to where I am today? Have you ever considered where you used to be and where you are today, and you scratched your head thinking, how did I get here? Oh, the goodness and the kindness and the mercy and the pleasure of the Lord. And you're like, just wow, wow, thank you. Y'all have that heart when you think about how far he's brought you. Remember David when he wanted to build the house of the Lord, and he realized that he would be able to do it through his seed, through Solomon. And he said, you know, God, who am I and what is my house that you've even brought me this far? You've been amazing. And we need to remember the deeds of the Lord. Lord, I just want to remember. I want to pull out that journal. I want to pull out that diary. I want to pull out those writings that have recorded what you've done. And I want it to result in welling up in a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness. Daddy has been good. God has been good. We need to remember that, reflect on that. We don't base our faith on ecstasy. We base it on objective truth. But yet there is a joy that abounds. And at times it's even unspeakable and full of glory. Y'all ever heard of Eugene Peterson? I appreciate some of his writings. He actually wrote a paraphrased translation of the Bible referred to as the Message. And he took this Romans text and he wrote it this way. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. For goodness sake, it's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with what? With joy. He wants to complete it with joy. Doing the will of the Lord is the right thing to do, but there's a fun factor also, the mere enjoyment of it all. The mere enjoyment of it all. You say, okay, great. How do I get there? How do I get it? All right, number one, friendship with God. Again, two, friendship with one another. Thirdly, then reaching our world for the Lord. We are called to be lovers of God, friends of God, are we not? Friends of God. We're a bride, but we're a bride with a mission. We've said it before. We're lovers of God, we're friends, but underneath our bridal gown, they're army boots because we're out doing stuff for the Lord. So we're lovers, but we're also activists in the same way, because we're not lovers where we just love God and that's all we do and we don't have any heart to change culture. We know that we're his bride, we're his friend, that's wonderful. And now we're going to take that friendship, take it with us, and we're going to go into the marketplace where real people live and attempt to get dirty a little bit and try to help some folk. How many of y'all know the only thing greater than intimacy in your own life with the Lord is helping someone else find a place of intimacy? So we celebrate what we have in the Lord, which is good, but we want to help someone else find that place of faith in him. It all starts with friendship with God. Go with me to John 15. You're familiar with this text. John 15, verse 9. And again, you're going to see all three components of what I just shared in this text in John 15. We doing okay today? Are we going to be happy during the holidays? Are we going to be large Christians and joyful Christians and engaging Christians? Yes. John 15, verse 9. This is written in the red. This is the words of Christ. He said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that what? So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what? Complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that lasts. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. James 2:23 says that Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called what? God's friend. You want to know where vitality and life and joy comes from? Walking with God. Knowing that you're approved. Knowing that he's not merely creator, but you've been adopted. He's Father, but he's also friend. I mean, on one hand, he is almighty. He is all powerful. I mean, he could just flick the nations off with a flick of his finger. And how this amazing, powerful, omnipotent God will relegate himself to be friends with us. That's an amazing thing. Abraham, the friend of God. Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. So it's possible to find friendship with the Lord. And you can take that friendship anywhere, any day of the week, any month of the year you want. It's not something you check in and check out. His friendship goes with us wherever we go. Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. Job 29:4, I love this, where Job said, oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house. Intimate friendship. It's not a legal contract merely that we're in with the Lord, but he's allowed us to be counted as dear to him. He said, you know, I could call you servants, but servants don't really know their master's business. I'm gonna share with you what the Father shared with me, and I'm going to call you friends. And I want it to be in a context of love. And out of that love, you're going to get around some other folks, and it's going to rub off on them. And what you have in me, it's going to be contagious. It's going to be addictive. And they're going to want to know, how do you have what you have? And then you're going to share the story. Then it's going to be birthed in them. Then they're going to get around some folk that don't know it. And they're going to wonder, where did you get where you got? And then you're going to begin to tell them the story. I've become a friend of God. I didn't know it was possible. I thought he was mad at me. I thought maybe he was mostly mad or mostly sad. And I realized, no, he's mostly glad. He loves me. He not only loves me, he likes me. It puts a skip in my step. I'm not just some little old worm or just some old, you know, sinner boy who doesn't have a hope. No, he has approved me. He has loved me. It lifts my heart, and you can have it too. And he can set you free. We are not here to judge you. We're here to say God's love abounds for you. You can have some of this joy. It is amazing. It's tangible. It's measurable. Intimate friendship with the Lord will do that. When we minister, how many of you know that when we do minister, there are gifts that God gives. But God's highest is that we don't merely minister out of our gifting, but we minister out of our friendship with the Lord. We can exercise our gift anytime. If you're a good singer, you can stand up and you can sing. If you're a communicator, you can communicate. If you have this gift, that gift, you know, but fruit is cultivated. But we don't want to just automatically minister out of our gift. We want to minister out of that abiding friendship. We want to take Jesus with us when we go to the Christmas parade. We want to take Jesus with us when we go to cookies and carols, when we go, you know, to this function, when we go into the marketplace. We don't want to leave our friendship with the Lord in our private devotional prayer closet. It's like, have you done your devotions today? It's kind of like as if that's something that stays over there. Have you done your devotion? It's not, well, no, it's not just devotions, but a life of devotion where I'm not going to leave him in the prayer closet. I'm going to take him to work. He's going to go with me to work. Hello? It's not I punch my time card in over here. I'm taking him with me. I'm taking that friendship with me. I'm taking that reward with me wherever I go. Abiding friendship. That is our inheritance as believers. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, and this is in the Amplified, he said, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Paul had a passion. I want to know him. I'm not going to be happy till I do. I'm going to find him. I'm going to find the character of God. I'm going to discover his personality. I want to be intimate. How many of you know that salvation is free? It's the free gift of God, but intimacy is based on hunger. If you want to be intimate, you got to go after it. You got to go after it. You got to want it. Salvation, yes, we can believe on the name of the Lord. The miracle takes place. But intimacy is based on who's yearning, who's reaching, who wants more. Again, let's go back to John 15, 9, and we'll close with this. And we're going to look at this again from the translation. the message, rather. Eugene Peterson said, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you're going to park anywhere, park there. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I've loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends. Because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bears, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Again, just want to leave us with this point this morning. The kingdom of God, it's not the do's, the don'ts, eating, drinking, clean, unclean food. Paul was going, no. The kingdom, it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy. How do we get it? We become friends with God. We become friends with God's people. And we become friends with God's purpose as we're going out doing life together, trying to help some people. We want to live large, want to live big, want to have fun. So we're going to be rolling out, again, just things that we're doing this upcoming holiday season. We want to have, can you say fun? Do you feel guilty when you say that word? Because if we feel guilty, we need just to renounce a religious spirit. Yeah, but we're just supposed to be, you know, just somber. No, fun. Live large. If you live too large, God can forgive you. You know, but I don't think the church is too good for living too large. Large of heart is what we mean. Big heart for people, not a small heart for people. Big heart for his purpose, not a miserly heart. Wanting to engage people that don't look like us, sound like us. Being willing to get our hands dirty. Being willing to take risk, as it were, to try to help people. Lord, make us like that. Why don't we just stand on our feet? Lord, we want to be big. We want to be large. Large in life. Large in heart. We don't want to be small-minded. We don't want to be prudish. Lord, forgive us for just being religious. Forgive us for not allowing you to interrupt us, to put things on our heart that are important to you. But Lord, I just pray that as we have officially entered this holy season, this holiday season, Lord, I pray we would be the most extravagant, magnificent, exuberant, festive people in the city of Raleigh. Lord, may there be a skip in our step. May we not apologize to have great fun. Lord, I just pray that we would just blow the religious grids of just living out of the box, as it were, unconventional things, creative things whereby we can love on people and meet people. Lord, help us not to just look to ourselves, but to look beyond ourselves to those who have greater needs than we do. Lord, we just pray for your well of joy to bubble up within us, oh God, that we would not just get by, but you would help us, Lord, to be thoroughly filled with your presence. For Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If you're comfortable with that, just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I just pray for that same oil of gladness that you gave your son Jesus. Because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, you anointed him with the oil of gladness far above his companions. Lord, just smear us with your anointing this Christmas season. Let your pleasure be on us. May we manage our own soul, yes, but may we have an overflow to be a blessing to someone else. Let our love tanks be filled, we pray. Let our love and joy tanks rise, we ask. Give us big hearts, we pray, oh God. Help us to live large. And we'll enjoy it and give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.